You are listening to the Hello Sport Podcast.
Welcome back to the Hello Sport Podcast. Home of unqualified opinion and unwavering bias.
Yep.
I nailed that.
Yeah, you did.
I struggled last week.
I just wanted to come in there as a second voice, like a harmonic, a duet.
Get it a bit closer to you, buddy.
Yep.
I could duet with you till the cows come home.
Yeah, like old school. Like, well, we need four of us to get the full harmonical thing.
Yeah, we would harmonize. We wouldn't harmonize that often, but we would harmonize.
Dude, me, you, Jarch, Burmo at Kings of Kep, we would nonstop sing in the house.
Yeah,
just as more so than talking.
I'm
gonna get a coffee. Do you want one, dickhead? Like just. Anything.
Everything was song.
Everything. That's nothing that we sung. I'm just
no, like, we never saying. Sung that. We never we sung never that sung song. That. We actually never sung that song. But we would. It was like the Von Trapps up in the fucking up in the Alps, you know, in the Sound of Music. The Von Trapp family.
Yeah.
Little bit like that, except replace beautiful, idyllic Austria with. 177 Keppel Street, Bathurst.
Wait, is that Sound of Music?
Wait, is it Sound of Music? What did
yeah,
I say?
Sound of Music.
The Von Trapps.
It's the Thespian podcast.
But instead of singing, insert Sound of Music song here, is that Singing in the Rain and shit?
Not Don't Singing know. In the Rain.
Make him laugh.
Did people used to sound like that, or is that...
That's a good question. I think they did.
You reckon people walked around? Are you sure?
They looked and sounded different. Like, apparently, dude, in... I don't know where I'm getting this, pulling this fact out of my ass from, but the... Like, schools in the 40s in America, it was like a requirement that you'd had to do at least 100 push-ups, be capable of doing it. That was the bare minimum.
100.
In the PE classes,
100's a fuckload.
A fuckload, right? So then, all of them were just these jacked, muscular, war veteran type looking guys. If you look back through like archive footage, they all look 40 years old, and they're in high school.
Yeah,
they were push upped into it.
Yeah, well, they would like PE in the States back then was a brutal business. You know, they're basically doing like Marine courses. You know what I mean?
Like it was like
climbing through muddy ponds under barbed wire and then over, you know, massive walls and monkey bars and all that sort of shit. And every single one of them's got their shirt off and every single one of them is ripped to shit.
Yeah. Hairy, just like masculine men.
Oh, yeah. They were out and they were about. You know what I'm saying? And then Sugar came over. We were just talking earlier in the green room about how we've just got a big thing of lollies in the cupboard, and it's got its talons into us, bro.
Right. So that's, yeah. Well, that's the thing, like, with organic food, like, everything back then was, like, tin and from the cut, so there was no organic because it was organic. Maybe not made perfectly, but it was more farmed, whereas now it's all pesticides and all this sort of stuff.
It's all
packaged, and that won't be good for us.
Fuck no.
You can't be bothered to get everything organic.
But now we can't afford it. But now we've all got big guts, whereas they back then were, you know, ripped. Every single one of them.
Yeah.
Being able to do 100 push-ups. If you went down the street and hit up the punters and go, "Can you do 50 push-ups?" You would find next to no one that can. 50 push-ups in a row is a fuckload.
Oh, in a row? I don't even think I could do that.
You couldn't.
50 in a row.
I don't reckon you could do 50. No. 50 is a lot.
No, it's a lot.
Maybe back in the day when you were hot streety?
Yeah.
Now you're still hot beer or dad streety.
Now I've faded. I've certainly faded into like mid-30s. Used to have like kind of, I wasn't big by any means, but I was defined. The definition has like just lopsided.
Well, you had a six-pack for a long time.
Yeah.
You had a six-pack for a long time.
Earn it either. No, you kind of just had one.
No, you were just one of those annoying cunts that just...
Eat Cheezos and...
That just always had a relatively good body. And
yeah, thank you.
Everyone has that mate whereby you could do, what, you'd do a couple of push-ups and you'd be ripped again?
Dude, I used to, when I was really very young. How old? Like, honestly, as young as 8. Sebo, I knew you then. Willie B, maybe just knew you then. And then I was obsessed with, you know, just action movies of Jean-Claude Van Damme and Arnold Schwarzenegger and all. Like, I was obsessed with Terminator 2, 1 and 2. I was just like, that was my Bible. And I just couldn't believe this huge fucking guy shooting all these guns, all these car chases and shit. I'm like, how do I have that life?
Mm.
And I would do 100 push-ups, 100 sit-ups, like, every night, without question. I'd put music on, I'd put So Fresh on, and I'd be, like, pumping. So I kind of, like,
because you'd want to be, because you'd want to be Arnie.
Yeah. I was just fascinated by cool films, and I was like, how do I do that?
Is that where, did that inspire you to tan your penis that time?
That was finding the old man's porn stash. And then, yeah, that's a good leapfrog, because I watched that. I'm like, well, that guy's got a tanned huge Johnson. How do I get one of those? And I went outside. And like, how impressionable am I? Just like, watch one thing and I'm like, I'm going to get a towel and go outside. And I put some sunscreen on and I just lay out there like this. And then I heard my parents come up the driveway. I was like, fucking shit. Just fucking ran inside. I wasn't caught. It'd be a funnier story if I was caught, but thank God.
Don't you have a mole in your pants?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I didn't apply sunscreen. Now I've got a gigantic mole. No, I don't. It's like a freckle.
Yeah, yeah. Ball sack. You got a freckle in your cock.
Imagine that. That would suck if you had like a huge mole.
I'm glad that we don't live in that age whereby as a 40, 50-year-old man, you had to stash your pornos in the house, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, that would have just been such admin.
Yeah.
Such admin, trying to find the perfect hiding spot. You know you got a son who like, tears around the house.
Sniff out anything.
Yeah, sniff out anything.
Did you ever find your old stash?
No, I didn't.
Yeah. I found 6 videos, like VCRs. They were so funny. They were like 80s. One was called Wild Oats. And it would be like the story was they would like have these oats and it would send them really horny. Like, oh, these Wild Oats. Like the music in the background. And then I remember having it on the TV and like putting it in the thing. And like, I think everyone's got this kind of story where they walked in watching porn by one of their parents, and my dad comes in and he's like, I sat on the remote and it turned back on. So I turned it off and turned it back on. It was on. I couldn't fucking, it's like Jim out of American Pie with the sock.
Yeah.
And I turned it off and he's like, oh, this is one of your videos from school, is it? All right, I'll leave you to it. I'll leave you to it. And he left, even though they were his videos in hindsight. He left me to... That was very gentlemanly of him.
I think that's well played from Ken.
Yeah.
Like, how else do you play it, though? You're not going to sit down and go, let's watch it together, Sam.
No, that is...
You know what I mean? That'd be hell, fucking pretty weird.
That's a hell no one deserves.
Yeah. That'd watch be... You, watch you. But or
oh, sitting... this is my favorite bit.
Oh, Wild Oats. Yes, of course. Yes.
Your mother makes these.
Yes, your mother and I watch this together. Well, listen, obviously that's not going to happen. You're going to sit down and watch it with your old man. But if you got the birds and the bees chat off the back of that, did you ever get a birds and bees chat?
No, never. No. I'm trying to think. Was there anything close to the...
Pull your mic a bit closer.
No, but there was a book called The Wonderful World of Sex in like the, our little, like where the books are, library-esque thing.
Mm.
And I think that was there for the purpose of, there you go. Like, you'll find it. Have a look, have a read.
And it what? Had it, it was...
ancient drawings of like Indians kind of like bending, doing a doggy and all these weird kind of positions and stuff. It's like, oh. Persian pull around. This is interesting. All right.
Have you ever had a gander at a Kama Sutra?
A what?
A Kama Sutra. You know a Kama Sutra?
No. Book. Oh, yeah. I think that is one, isn't it?
Well, The Wonderful World of Sex. It's probably in the same wheelhouse.
Yeah, yeah.
I was under the impression that a Kama Sutra is basically like an Indian book. We might have talked about this on the podcast.
They're like holding off cum?
I think that's tantric sex.
Oh, right, right. That's
I think that's different. Whereas Kama Sutra, I think, is just like a thousand different positions. And I was wondering if you'd ever...
Dabbled in that. No,
yeah. Like
no,
the Persian pull around.
No, I don't know how graphic we want to go. I don't know who's watching.
Would you have the book or not? Do you have
I don't have the book. Got my own methods, which I will not be sharing. I'll write a book one day.
Streeti Sutra.
There's a method called the wall fuck. I'll just leave it at that.
Okay. Interesting.
Have you got a method? You got to match my method. Very revealing podcast. You can't say missionary.
No, not mission. Yeah, but I mean, I don't have anything I would say that I would class as worthy of a book.
Oh, fuck no. No, and I, yeah, even though...
You know what I'm trying to say?
Tongue in cheek saying I'd write one of those. That would be a very short book. But you got to, like, in kind of...
You try things out. You definitely try things out. But these, I was under the impression that the moves in this book are quite... They're a level up.
And when you think of level up, you think of, like, acrobatical stuff, right? But I have heard of, like, slow and shallow is a good way to... It's actually the opposite of what you think. Like, porn is probably destroying, like, contemporary porn. Destroying young minds of like, this is, you get in and you smash.
Yeah.
And I think I'm not a lady. I don't have a vagina, but I've heard that's not the way to greet the room, as it were.
Yeah. So the pile.
Barge your way through.
So the pile drive's not. The pile drive's not.
No.
Not the preferred method necessarily. Horses for courses also, we should add.
Oh, for sure.
There'd be some pole driver aficionados out there, you know what I mean?
But we're merely exploring the ideas themselves.
That's all we're doing. That's all we're doing. Now, have you got an answer on the Kama Sutra for me, Tobler? You've got a grin on your face over there that suggests that you might.
Yeah, essentially it's like this ancient Hindu text. Like, it's about more than sex positions. It's about like love, finding a partner, all this kind of stuff. But then it's got a shitload of sex positions in it that apparently are quite complicated. But I don't think they have an expectation of like hardcore lovemaking.
But so when you say they're complicated, have you got it? Is that, are we?
Is there an image we can see?
Are we waiting? Yeah, let's get some imagery up. Are we waiting into acrobatic territory? Because I've got very tight hips.
Some of them look bloody intense.
Slow and shallow. Well, to begin with. Yeah. So I've heard. From a female.
Yeah. Okay, slow and shallow. And then the driver? Then the pile driver?
Look, there's a place for hard and fast, I think. I didn't realise I'd be giving a sex set.
Well,
I've kind of dug my own grave here.
Well, no,
but let's see
no.
what the professionals have to say about...
We're merely exploring the ideas themselves.
The ideas are presenting themselves, and we're merely just like throwing colours in the wind and seeing how they form. Like
that's
clouds.
Exactly. Like clouds. That's exactly the idea.
Yeah, it's wigging.
Come on, Tobler.
Yeah, we're trying a new method today, and it's wigging out already.
Right, okay. I don't know if I like the new method. But we're always trying. We are prepared to try here at Hello Sport. We're prepared to try new ideas just to see if they can work, Streeti. It's not happening for us.
No, that's okay. Look, we can...
I wonder... The Kama Sutra is a well-known book. We're going to learn a little bit more about it in a second when Tobler gets his shit together. But I wonder how that was received back in the day, because I feel like if you were now... Just paint. I'm just going to paint a picture. What would you think if you wake up one day, open your Instagram, and then I'm on there spruiking a new sex book that I've started? Right, where I go into some detail about how I think I've found these like magical methods, and you know,
like a Ponzi scheme of like, well, sex positions.
It's not even a Ponzi because I'm not ripping it. Well, maybe I am, but basically, I'm spruiking myself as a sex guru. What do you think about me? What's the first thing that you think?
Well, I think there's like a big shame thing historically with sex. It's a private thing. Like it's like the thing at parties, right? It's like politics, sex, religion.
Mm.
They're all fundamentals, but when you air them out in the cold light of day, a lot of like, you know, how many dinners have you had ruined by politics? But I don't know that sex has done that all that often. I think it just kind of brings people together.
I feel like that
kind of like, oh, how'd you lose your virginity? Or like whatever. It's just kind of like breaks the ice. It humanizes us. It's just the whole idea of shame and wrongness to a lot of it. But so if you were doing that and I opened my phone, I'd be like, what the fuck is he doing? But I'd be super interested. I can tell you that. I'd want to see what was next.
Would you buy a copy?
Absolutely. I'd put it on the fridge.
Because there was that book that came out a couple of, maybe even a decade ago now. It was called, Sebo, do you remember what that book was called? That guy, that loser wrote that book on how to pick up girls?
Oh, The Red.
Oh, The Game.
The Game.
The Game.
The Game. Did you ever read that?
Why'd you ask Seb? Did you read The Game?
You just strike me as a guy that would know about it. I was
picking up. Yeah, dude, Seb's body count is shameful. No, I'm joking.
No, that you're but taking that personally. You just know a lot about things. That's all it was.
I think there was like also like a reality TV series about the game guys or four guys who loosely wrote the game. And it is, I don't know. See, this is where that conversation wanders into woo-woo, where it's like, of course things are a game, but then there's the idea of like courting someone completely for the fuck, then game over, move on, which is the epidemic of like dating sites, right?
Mm.
Which is not what women want, what a lot of men probably want, but then, yeah, I don't know. I haven't...
Coming up with a blueprint seems pretty rank to me.
I don't know if I would have liked to have put my name to it. No.
You're a bit of a fucking creep.
It's okay to be a little bit awkward. Like, dates are awkward. If you have some sort of like, I've got this mask of the game where I'm like, you know, let's flip the anxiety back on you. What's your dad like? Yeah, sounds like he's aggressive. I can be aggressive, you know? Like, just using weird psychological tactics are not, I don't think, beneficial for anyone.
No.
It's not a game of tricking someone. It's about connecting with someone.
I think that's a beautiful way to put it, Streddy. Now, we have got a position up here, Punters and Dribblers. It's called the Queen of Heaven. Indranika.
Queen of
Is
Heaven.
Is that Hindu?
Yeah.
Another entrant into the catalogue of positions intended to ease a vagina open and expand its capacity is the Queen of Heaven, which the text notes requires practice. It involves a man wrapping his thighs around his female partner and forcefully opening the vagina with his hands. The name is apparently an ode to the wife of Indra, the king of heaven, who is credited with inventing this position.
So there's a king of heaven and a queen of heaven. It's like, yo, are you the queen of heaven?
Okay.
Here comes the king of heaven. I'm going to open you with my thighs. I don't know if many people have this in them. I don't know if the...
To open a vagina with your hands? No, I don't think so.
Well... Is it necessary? I mean, it's kind of like a flower, right? It opens unto its own accord in the right weather. If you're forcing things open with your hands, it's a little bit greedy, isn't it?
Oh, God. Envelopment. But the Kama Sutra isn't just concerned with helping wee little vaginas stretch. What the fuck? Stretch to encompass massive penises. What is this?
Wait, helping more roomy vaginas and smaller penises find pleasure when paired together.
There are a number of ways to do this, but one of the interesting envelopment, which means involves the woman crossing her legs one over the other while being penetrated. Okay. So oh, it just keeps things nice and tight.
Yeah. That's like the reverse of the one before.
That's the reverse of the Queen of the Nile or whatever it was called.
However these are played, you know, you just don't ever want to veer into like a sexist way. Like game is like this. The sex game is like a balance of power, right? Like she's dominating and he's submitting, or he's got the he's prowessing. I don't know how to say that in a PC way, but I mean, you know, prowessing, and she's submitting, consentingly submitting.
Well, consent, Tom. I mean, Hamish,
consent is key.
It's these. There's some interesting ones here. The lotus, which is basically a yoga position where both willing consenting parties, Hamish,
yeah,
sitting cross-legged, one sitting on top of the other. These all look like you got to know what the range of your flexibility is. There's the wall smash.
That's the wall.
There's the wall smash. That's the wall.
Standing.
A straighty special.
Well, I had to throw something out there just for a bit of shits and gigs.
Dude, yeah, listen.
All these drawings are making me hard. I had to cross the other leg there.
These days we call it doggy style, but back then it was called the cow. The cow getting a run for its money. All right. That'll probably do.
That'll do us, yeah. I mean...
Street is getting hard. Probably time to move on.
Yeah. No, we need to pace things out. But it's interesting. It is interesting. And an icebreaker.
It's definitely an icebreaker.
Like, watch everyone's faces light up. Like, sure, you could offend someone, but I mean, you don't want to conceal too much, do you?
You don't want to conceal
in life. You don't want to conceal too much. You want to be fucking
You want to be free, like the Von Trapps,
but
up
Titanic
in the fucking
at the front of the boat, just fucking
like Rose with her hands up, like the Von Trapps up in the mountains singing a song,
consensually at the front of the boat with someone that you're happy to dance at the front of the boat with.
Do you know that Cody, our little mate over there, he's never seen Titanic.
Never seen it.
Do you find that disgraceful?
Haven't seen it.
That's interesting because I wonder what else you haven't seen. That's also like
basically everything.
There's a few.
I haven't seen anything.
Lord of the Rings. I did know that actually. Last Hacker Major. That's just come back to me.
Hadn't seen Wedding Crashers.
We're screaming at each other.
Captain. Mr.
Went down with the ship.
Edward Smith.
Oh, he's Théoden. What's the classic line that you love, Théoden, dude? A thing among men, let him come. That's not it, but it's something like that. We're just nerding out. But no Titanic, dude.
No Titanic. Know.
This is the wrong room for that.
Yeah.
Now, you got to watch it, though. You got to go home, watch it, and then give us your thoughts.
Yeah, Eddie's been pressing me about it. I'll get to it.
Yeah, it's getting to a point where you might be forced to watch it.
It's a tale of romance. It's a tale of tragedy. It's a tale of an epic, like a disaster.
Yep. It's also, some say, a metaphor and an analogy for human going headlong into the night, you know what I mean? Advancement, just unchecked advancement. We're ploughing on into the unknown.
Into the unknown.
And there's something coming to fucking destroy us, you know what I mean?
The iceberg is a metaphor, yes, for sure. Like, yeah, what's beneath the surface of the eye.
But we're going full, we've lit all the boilers, Hamish, and we're charging full speed into the night. A windless night. And a calm night, so we can't see water breaking at the base of the iceberg, Hamish. So the risk is everywhere.
And when the risk
And we're doing is, nothing about it.
Well, not nothing, because sometimes in the bleak darkness, the beacon of heroes light up. And sure, some sink, but the tale lives on.
Do you...
I mean, Rose lived to be 100, right?
Well, she did.
Clutching her jewels.
101 next enter or something, whatever the line is, you know?
Yeah.
She's a very old goddamn liar.
Well, there's also something to be said about, you know, not living till 100, clutching your jewels. You kind of want to go down with the ship, like, you know.
Yeah.
Leo's mate who's holding his friend's head in his lap, watching him gasp his last breath.
So there's a lot you're missing out on, Cody, and you will be forced to watch it because it's some of James Cameron's very best work. Highest grossing film of all time for quite some time.
Also did Terminator. Have you seen that?
Terminator 1.
A long time ago.
I've
seen the first one, I think.
But I am also aware when I ask that, it is old. Like, it's not like the Titanic came out even remotely recently.
It came out 27 years ago.
Fuck, that's a long time.
That's a fucking long time.
1997.
27, yeah. 1997 being 27 years ago makes me feel physically ill. There's that. We can just start there. That's disgusting. Have you ever tried to reenact the hand?
in a car window.
You know what I mean?
Not that I recall. No, have you?
No, I haven't.
Oh, no, sorry. Like in the bath, like just on your own.
Yeah.
No, all the time, dude.
Yeah. Well, we've all tried
it, right? You're like, oh, that doesn't work.
Yeah.
Hot water, get it back up.
Yeah. What a great scene that was! Fucking unbelievable, unbelievable. But we will get you onto that, Cody, mate. We will get you to write horrible wrongs.
A detailed review.
We should stream it.
Would that be what the punter and the dribbler want? A live stream of Titanic.
You can narrate the entire movie.
I think that makes a lot of sense.
Does to me.
A live commentary would be great.
A live commentary of Titanic.
Who's the bloke in it? Who's the... I put the coat on her.
Billy Zane.
Billy Zane is just so good at playing the rich guy. There's such a great scene. James Cameron, as you said, like the cinematography of Rose getting lowered into the lifeboat and him saying, don't worry, there's another boat for Jack on the thing. And as it's getting lowered, he says, you know, side eye to him. Jack's like, oh, there's not another boat, is there? And he goes, oh, no, there is. Oh, there's no other plan, is there? And he goes, oh, no, there is. Not that you benefit much from it.
Yeah, it's great stuff.
And then he looks at him in the eyes, like a coward who says it this way, and then he goes, I always win, Jack.
One way or another. Yeah.
And it's the only moment that's like vulnerable of like, oh, this guy's had everything handed to him, and I always win one way or another because that's what matters most to him. Boom!
Yeah, he's a winner.
He's a winner, but he's the loser. He's the loser.
Incredibly well cast, putting Billy Zane in there. I don't know what the fuck Billy Zane's done since. I think he was in...
Well, he's hung his hat.
He was in Zoolander and the Phantom.
At the dance-off or the fashion...
Oh, I'll get some. But what's he been in since Billy Zane? Because Billy fucked the house down in Titanic. He really did.
Yeah. Listen to your friend Billy Zane. He's a cool guy. He was in Zoolander. He's like held back from like sticking up for Derek.
Listen to your friend Billy Zane.
Put a cork in it, Billy.
Sebo just said that in Year 3, Streety used to draw himself as Desperado.
Well,
and then cut his own hand and what? Put blood on the page?
I think he's connected two stories there. I probably did both of those things where I think I just drew myself as Desperado or drew him for fun at a drawing. And then in art class once, there was like a stencil of a boxer like this.
Mm.
And I, like a psycho, freak, weird kid, Toy Story next door kid, there was no red pencils. So I got the scissors and cut my finger and used the blood from my hand to put onto the boxer to bloody his face.
And how was that received? And
it was almost like a dare. It was like, you won't do it. Ah, I did it. Ah. And then I pretend, I like, you know, like squeeze the blood out so there's more than it seems. And there was like some blood running down here. And I was like, oh, Mr. Meggers, I've hurt myself. And he goes, he runs over and he had to like carry me to sick bay. And it was like, to the delight of you and a couple of other people like watching going, he's just wigged the teacher out.
You would have been a fucking handful, I think, when you were younger, mate.
I was just like, yeah, like that kind of kid who would burn army men, you know, light things on fire. I feel like a very sensible person now, though. Quite, you know, I'm not up to pyro shit now.
Do you think you turn into your old man?
Probably. A little bit. There's a comfortability in being sensible. You know, there's less trouble.
You get yourself into less fucking predicaments, mate.
I don't know. I think I was a bit of an idiot growing up, for sure. Just a lot of dumb things. Just a lot of silly things. Like, I don't know why this story is coming to me, but... So, like, everyone had a not everyone had a trampoline. That's a very fucking white guy thing to say. Everyone had a trampoline, right? No, not me. No, but, like...
People had trampolines.
What I would get up to on a trampoline, I suppose, is different. Like, where... I had a butcher's knife and I would jump with I was like a circus kid or something. I don't know. I'd like jump with the butcher's knife and try to like land on my flat of my stomach and stab the trampoline. So like I would just have this, you know, when you're playing by yourself, I guess I'm like 7 or 8 or something. And then just when you're playing by yourself, you do silly things.
I don't know of many people that would be doing that. I don't know how many people listening right now go, yeah, I used to go get the butcher's knife and...
Yeah.
Did you ever succeed in, like, landing on your stomach and stabbing the trampoline?
No, that was the thrill. So, like, you would foresee yourself as, like, I don't know, Blade maybe came out or something, and I was, like, Wesley Snipes, imagining I was Wesley Snipes, and I would, like... jump out of the tree, do a somersault, and then, like, land on the trampoline and, like, kill a vampire in my mind.
Was there holes all through the tramp?
Yeah. There was, like, the whole trampoline was all, like, slid up.
And what did your mum say? Was she like, where the fuck did... What's doing?
My mum's vague, so I was the perfect recipe for my mum to just get away with.
She wouldn't notice.
Silly things. I'll tell you a gnarly trampoline yarn. I was... around the same age, and I'd just watched Braveheart. And you know how gory Braveheart is, and there's like the execution scene and whatnot, and I was just fascinated with the drama of it all. And so I went outside to play by myself, and there was like a rope hung from the tree, trampoline there, and the little noose there, and I sort of hoisted the rope up a little bit higher to be like, act as a noose. And I put my head in the noose, put my head in it, and then I would like, as playing out the scene that I saw in Braveheart, I would sort of dangle off the edge of the trampoline holding it like this. And then I would get my foot and get back onto the trampoline. But there was one time where I slipped and I was for real hanging by my neck in the backyard of my house. With fake blood capsules coming down my face. And I was going like, and I, like, so, like, for real in a bad situation here, humped my way into, like, a momentum of a swing and, like, hooked one foot on, slipped off, losing breath, hooked one foot on and just managed to get, like, slipped out of the noose and then,
Jesus Christ.
But I mean, could you imagine coming home to a kid hung by a tree with a fucking blood capsule coming out of his mouth? It would have been like, he watched Braveheart, didn't he?
Were you fucking rattled after that?
Nah. That was all right. Life goes on.
Jesus Christ, mate.
So yeah, just silly stuff like that, I guess. Being a kid. I mean, what did you grew...
Eh? How old were you?
I think I was like 10, old enough to know better, but
I was a sensible kid when I was younger. Sensible and soft and sensible. Yeah. There's just no way in the world that I'd be inside getting the fucking butcher's knives and like flipping and, you know, stabbing up the fucking trampoline, hanging myself and shit. Just not, it wasn't part of my wheelhouse, you know?
I don't know.
Well, I was collecting Dragon Ball Z discs and Tarzos and like, you know.
I was doing a bit of that as
fucking,
well.
The gnarliest thing I'd do is like run up to the shops when I wasn't allowed to and steal my parents' money to buy fucking Tarzos. Like that was sort of,
That was the peak.
That's the peak, yeah. And I don't feel like you and I are that different. Yeah.
No.
As the rivers
rivers meander, Hamish.
They meander, they wind.
Rivers
around.
Meander, but they, well, they don't always come back together, but the Murray and the Darling do.
Murray, Darling.
Yep.
Yeah.
You know? And then we become a super river.
Fucking oath. Fucking oath.
Does that analogy work? Probably not.
It does. Does in the rain.
It does in the rain.
But yeah, no, kids, I mean, kids do the darndest things, don't they?
Well, I think they do. They definitely, especially boys.
Well, this one does.
Boys are fucking naughty things, can be.
It's naughty, but like even, if I'm to analyse it, right? Like you if might, you like might if be you, a therapist and go like you've got what a fucking, the fuck are you talking about?
If you've got a 16-year-old son, you're wigging out like when they're out most nights, aren't you?
For sure. I mean, everything I described is like etch play, but it's all play. It's all make-believe. It's putting myself in serious situations, but it's, I'm just like fucking around, just playing. Like when you're by yourself, you're bored, so you just use your imagination. But I suppose it's, yeah, like you, when you become 16, I was lucky I went to a good school, I suppose. I probably would have been one of those kids as he becomes 16 if I was continuing to be bored and then fell into the wrong crowd. Who the fuck knows? I don't know. But I think it's all about trying to find your mates and then doing fun, dumb things, but not too dumb. Is that right? Am I fair?
It's
not
about
too dumb. You got to be. You can't be too close.
It's about finding your mates and doing young dumb shit, but not too dumb.
But not too dumb. Don't fuck everything up. But you got to be testing your own waters, as it were. We are dribbling. We are absolutely dribbling.
I'm loving it, mate. But it's good stuff.
You got to. Yeah, I think you do have to test the waters. Everyone's tested the waters.
Who was your hero growing up?
Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Yeah, he was the man.
He was the man. Bruce Lee. Fucking loved Bruce Lee.
Is Bruce still with us?
There was a really like, awesome... Remember
Jackie Chan, Bruce Lee? Like, they used to be the fucking...
They were the bees knees.
Died in the 70s.
James Bond was
died in the 70s.
Bruce Lee.
Oh, so he...
Do you know he was
Jet
shot?
Lee, his son?
Was he shot or was he kicked off a... Shot in The Crow, the movie The Crow, which is a weird cursed movie where someone else died as well on that. But Bruce Lee also died from, you'll have to look this up, Tobler, if you can, how Bruce Lee actually died, but it was from a mistake on a film set. Someone poisoned him or something.
Really?
So yeah, and they think it's like Yakuza or something.
His official cause of death was swelling of the brain caused by an allergic reaction to a headache medication. Although some do consider the circumstances mysterious.
Was he fucking with the Yakuza? Was it like, was that?
He was representative of like, it had never been, he was scaling never before seen heights and putting Asian martial arts on the map, the Hollywood map. And I think he ruffled some feathers. There was a bit of ego involved and he could fight anyone, and who knows what was said behind closed doors. I don't know. Mm. But there is, yeah, there's a whole conspiracy of Bruce Lee being, assassinated.
Killed.
Because he was, like, filming a movie, and then he went to have a nap because he was complaining of a headache and then never woke up.
Which the guy did. The guy was
How old was he?
Fit as a fiddle. I think he was 28.
33?
33,
right.
Really?
33.
Really? Fuck, I miss those fucking movies, man. They don't make them like that anymore.
If you're into this sort
of... Well, maybe they do and I just don't watch them.
You should watch... The Bruce Lee ones, like Enter the Dragon and stuff, are really cool. They're really... Like, it's all dubbed and stuff. Very cool. Very niche. You'd probably hate it. Too old before your time. But the Brandon Lee remake of Bruce Lee's life is a film played by his son, Brandon Lee, for Bruce.
Yeah.
coming to America. It's about Bruce Lee's story.
Mm.
And that's a cracker. That's
What's it called?
Something dragon or other. Enter the Fist. The Fist of the Dragon. Can you look that up, Tobler, as well?
Is Jackie Chan still... What's he doing? Is he just chilling?
Dragon the Bruce Lee story?
He's chopping about.
Dragon the Bruce Lee story. That's what it's called.
Dragon the Bruce Lee story.
Yeah.
Brandon Lee. And then his next film, he plays the Crow, like a mythological sort of... It's kind of like... Probably be like a DC movie now, but it was like an old comic book.
Mm.
And the guy before him died on set. Can't remember who he was, but then Brandon Lee, they did a, forget his name, the guy that's departed, but gun in the chamber and shot on set.
So like a fucking...
It was similar to what happened with that Alec Baldwin movie.
Yeah, with Alec Baldwin, I was going to say.
Baldwin, that's what I was going to say. So look up Brandon Lee and just make sure I'm not butchering that.
No, that's exactly right.
He was shot with a load, he was, yeah.
You got to wonder how the fuck that happens. Like... How can a stunt gun be loaded? I don't understand how that mistake can happen.
Well, again, yeah. Bruce Lee.
But then it happened with fucking Baldwin as well. Like, what is going on?
Someone might have been salty with him as well. Blackmail. Blackmail gone wrong.
Do you ever think about putting the acting boots back on?
Sure. For the right thing, but I don't know. Very happy with the simplicity of my life at the moment. Like, yeah, I'm running a full-time business. It is 24/7, the labor hire recruitment. I enjoy it. I'm good at it. And then golf and stuff. But I don't know, man. It's interesting. Never say never. Like, I don't really enjoy doing the auditions for ads. But, I mean, fuck, credit to...
Audition
Anyone who's
Brad,
made it as an actor, because they've gone through miles and miles of sewerage to pop up and do something that's gratifying. And if I'm being honest, like, it would just be pure luck if I landed something and just did it, because I'm enjoying what I've carved out for myself. I don't know that I need to.
You don't want to go and get tied up again in like a King's Cross fucking.
Oh,
I tell her anything like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, no, dude, I'm scared. Yeah. It's because I'm scared. There becomes a certain point where you want to provide for your family. Like, I started this business right before, like 3 months before Rosie was born, and it's been strength to strength. So it's been good. And then it's like, what do you love? Well, I love my family. Love my friends. I love. Golf, love life, love I'm good. I just keep it simple.
Yeah. I get that completely. But what if someone came knocking on your door, right? And they said, "We want you to get fucking jacked to shit. We want to look like Arnie, and you got to go and live out your fucking dream as like Claude Van Damme."
Sign my life away. See you, Rosie. See you, Carly.
Daddy's
I'm
off.
Going to Portugal and I'm going to go work out and very vainly get close-ups and play like a double version of me where there's heaps of screen time of just me and just doing this. I don't know. No, it has to be something worth
I'm
doing
I'm off
it
to
for.
Portugal to work out. Sure. Sure. Sure.
I don't know. It's an odd question to ask, right? Like, would you...
Yeah,
would
you, it was odd by design, though, right?
No. But if someone came knocking on your door and goes, "We want you to commentate the NRL now,"
yep.
Would you do it? I would... And by the way...
As in, okay, well, say, do you mean call the game or commentate?
Like, replace one of the...
So, because commentating, you could... I don't know anything, first and foremost, so I'd have to be commentating on, like, the dribbly aspect of it. But commentating's all right. Calling the game would be completely different. You know, like what Rabs used to do.
You could do it, man. You could know.
But you
know
need
the names.
It would be. Do you know how hard that would be to call the play as it evolves and unravels, not unravels, unfolds in front of you? Would be very, very difficult.
Absolutely, it would. But it'd be cool. It'd be interesting. It'd be difficult, right? Would you do it?
It'd take years, is what I'm saying. You'd have to go back to bush footy and call every weekend for years to get
exactly. The skill set. So if someone called me and says, "Hey, we want you to play a stepdad in a broken home," and it's like a 200-page script through all these lines.
Yeah,
we need you to cry. We need you to laugh. We need you to do all this. It'd be like, if I believed in it enough, and I'm like, this story, I want to tell this story. Yeah, maybe I would.
Can you cry on demand?
Look, I don't think I'm some sort of diamond in the rough. No, I don't. I mean, I have cried. It's a very tricky thing. I don't know if someone told me in acting school that it's not about. Some people are very good at just bringing it on.
Yeah.
And if you're trying and it's not coming, you should stop immediately because it's just not worth laboring yourself into being empathized with.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just like in conversation.
People are fucking good at it though.
But you can
like insane at it.
Absolutely. But you'd have to dial it back really simple and just see what you can control. Like I certainly had scenes where I did do it. But it's better if you're in control and still going after what you want. Because crying is almost submitting to what you're upset about. Whereas, like, if you're, I love you and I need you with all of my, like, you're still going for it. And if the tears come, but you're still going for what you want, then that's interesting. That's compelling to watch. Not saying I ever did that, but that's probably what they would teach you.
If you're like,
this scene requires everyone to feel sorry for me.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You're like, you're trying to convey something that isn't serving the scene.
When you were doing acting school, is everyone's default to overact? I know when we do
myself included.
I know when we do skits and shit, I'm fucking, more often than not, mortified with my performance. It's not easy to do acting. It's fucking difficult.
Mate, it's, look, in a way, like, I don't miss it, to be honest.
It's an intense line of work, mate.
I'm just going to sort of veer off here because we need to talk about someone who's
Can you lift your awesome. Mic up, please, buddy?
Leonardo DiCaprio.
Friend of the show.
Sebo, I think you touched on this ages ago when it came out, Killers of the Flower Moon.
Great movie.
You seen that?
It's intense, but it's great.
But like you look at Leonardo DiCaprio and he does nothing in it that you haven't sort of seen before. However, he sort of does in that he weirdly looks uglier in it. He looks like this,
yeah.
This kind of, he's done something to his teeth or something. And so again, a lot of people in acting school would be
he plays put the on the hat really
and be
well.
and come across looking really good looking, but like once you're at that level, you want to hone in and try to convey, especially a character who did what he did, which was be confused with loving his wife and also taking everything in from her. What an interesting person to play because he's just so ignorant.
We're all ignorant, but he's a dumb cunt.
He's a dumb cunt. He's a dumb cunt, but he's after.
That's what I took away from him. He was very easily malleable.
He was scared. He was also scared of his uncle. He was greedy. He was obsessed with money. There was that great scene where they're gambling, and then he goes, "I love money." And he throws the cards down. Yes, and he loses.
Yes, yes, yes.
And so
he's fucking good in that, Leo.
Yeah,
he's really good.
But just to relate that back to what you're asking about it, so I think acting. For the people who are good, myself not included, like the people who are professionally good, it's like not about looking good. It's about serving the scene in an interesting way that definitely serves the story. And like he does that.
Well, he's the best in the business, mate. And that's why he's always getting the good movies. He's never done a bad movie. He's never done a bad movie. He just hasn't. He just rolls out gem after gem after gem after gem after gem.
Yeah. Catch Me If You Can. That didn't get any Oscar nods.
But The Aviator is a good movie. You know, he was fucking good in that. Yeah. He's in Catch Me If You Can, he's in The Departed, he's in Shutter Island, he's in What's Eating Gilbert Grape, he's in the fucking that Island movie, which
Gilbert Grape was a little bit
He's young in it, though.
No,
Romeo
yeah.
and Juliet's.
Well,
a
he was
good
nominated
movie.
For an Oscar for it. So, I mean, albeit, you know, fuck my
Wolf
opinion.
Wolf of Wall Street, was, good fucking movie. Yeah.
Would you, if someone came knocking on your door,
yeah,
do a film, they go, I've got this, like, energetic young man. Like, say if it was the Wolf of Wall Street, Martin Scorsese's knocking
if
on
Martin's
your door.
Martin's knocking on my door.
And he goes, I've got this great role of like they're talking about midgets in that scene. And
am
like,
I? But am
smoking
I
smoking a cigarette? And you want to be discussing like?
Am I a main part, or am I? Out. Am I just a small part?
You're a small part, but it's like you've got maybe a page or two, or let's say 3 pages of dialogue in the whole movie, and you got to fucking nail your 2 scenes. You ready to do it?
Am I ready to do it? No, I'm not ready to do it. I would do it. If like you're not going to say no to being in a Martin Scorsese film because
no.
But you got to approach it the right way in the sense that I would be comfortable knowing that I can't act. I'd give it my all, Hamish.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You got to give it your all, punters and dribblers, you always do. I'd give it my all. And I'd be almost certainly mortified by what I was watching. But then I could say that I was in a Martin Scorsese film, right?
Yeah.
That's something.
100%.
But would I want to be the main actor in a movie? Probably no. I don't think so.
Yeah,
would be fucked, mate.
Do you want that maximized, that detestment that you have for
imagine
everything
being
that you've
in
ever
a
done.
Scorsese film, like if you were in it, right? You're the main character for some fucking weird reason. You're chosen to be the main part with your skill set in the movie. Like you'd be caned from pillar to post. People would be going, "Who the fuck's this guy?" He's awful.
Maybe, but I mean, it's fun to imagine. It's fun to imagine if the point is you never get anywhere without, that's a bit of a trope to say, giving it your all, but at least, I guess, at least with acting or with any skill set, you have to at least believe in what you're doing to do it well. Rather than just going like, oh yeah, I'd say yes. Like commentating, would you do it?
Probably
you'd
not,
say no. It would be hard, but it
I'm
would
saying
be,
it would take too long to get good at.
It would be so fucking cool to hear you and Tom commentate rugby league, and then just also like you can learn like dialogue, like a skill set, like working out in Portugal. You can work those things into, you can sculpt those things and learn those difficult to say names and play by play it,
yeah.
But then also add in some dribble. It'd be cool to watch. Would you do it?
I would think about it.
Good answer. Good answer. Never say never.
Never say never. Now, how are your eels going this year, mate? You still a diehard fan or what?
Am I a diehard fan? Fucking oath.
Or are you?
I watch every.
Or do you change teams?
Like no. I change teams.
And you change teams too.
So I started at the Eels, and then loosely when Sonny Bill was around, enjoyed the Bulldogs when they were floating about.
But I think,
like, and then enjoyed the Rabbitohs when I was living with Seven stuff. But I never watched the season ever. I was basically just like this was something to do. Like throwing darts at a board without a bullseye. Just
well, you lived in Redfern. She's like, fuck it.
Fuck it. Like you gotta pick some colours for the fuck of it. But truly, to go back to my roots, I don't know when it was. It's like 2020, and I'm just like, I'm going to pick a team. Going to go back to where I started. Went to school in Parramatta when I was playing touch. When I was playing rugby union, people used to say I was a bit like Nathan Hindmarsh. So
you?
Kind of in the sense that I was a workhorse rather than a... You know, flashy guy.
Well, yeah, and he's
I could offer that.
He's a Highlands kid.
And he's also from Barrel. So there was a few things on the wall. I'm like, yep, doing it. And ever since then, I've watched every single game. Most of the interviews, at least recently, I watch. You just get invested like a show. Like you want to know more and more about it.
Mm.
Like Willie with the NBA, like, dude, you must be just like...
I'm drowning myself in Nick stuff at the moment.
Carly, my wife, and Willie B, Burmo's brother, just like they dribble and drown themselves in interviews, and there's just so many theatrics that happen outside the game. There's just so much to get into. So I never had, if you ask me if I support the Eels, it's only since all that happened.
Yeah. Since you got the fuck out of Redfern.
Yeah. And then moved to Bondi and then
Do you subscribe to the notion that the Eels can't win a comp until the sun explodes?
I get it.
Do you subscribe to that notion?
I get it.
Because that's what people are saying.
Yeah, of course they're
saying
that.
Not everyone's saying that, but a lot of really wily rugby league pundits are saying that.
Let me put it this way. All the red flags that you see, I see as well.
Yeah, there's red flags.
I'm seeing every... If there are like 9 red flags, I've got all 9 of them that I've noticed as well. And... But it would be unbecoming of me to just throw in the towel and say we're not going to win against the Broncos, because I feel like Ethan Sanders, going to say Saunders, new kid on the block. Like,
shout out to Will Saunders.
I want to hype this kid up, even though he's going to the Raiders. He looked good. He tackled well. I think he was tackling.
Is he a Kentucky Sanders?
Yeah, he's finger licking good. He's good with them fingers, son. He's a seasoned vet. He's deep frying people. Yeah.
Is he a king of the Nile?
Yeah. But who else? Like, I mean, Gutho out, Mitch out, Brycey C out. They're such core people that are out. So it's like, yeah, it's not looking good.
No, it's
not looking good, but I mean, we need Blaise Talangi to step up. We need Ethan Sanders to step up. Old Ethy S to stand up.
Kentucky Sanders.
And then we need Bailey Simonson to step up. All of them show really
promising
signs. So
basically just name the 17 ask him to step up. Is that basically the approach?
It's the spine. It's the spine has been discombobulated. So what the fuck are we supposed to do?
Well, you've been beheaded, really. You've been castrated. Well, you've had your nuts cut off.
We're like a skink. We've had our tail, our spine, our fucking tail cut off.
You've had your nuts cut off because Mitch Moses is a terrific footballer. There's no point sitting here beating around the rugby league bush, Hamish. I won't do it to you. Mitch Moses can play the game of rugby league. He's fantastic.
Wasn't it good in Origin when it was like, fuck, righto, Mitch, a lot of people were not enjoying that with all the other options on the table. And then
he had a great game.
Kicking game. And then when he made that play.
And we won.
But the game that we didn't win, the second one.
Well, he was there when he only came in for the third game, for memory serves.
No, he played.
Was he there the second one?
And the second one, he played well, but we didn't win. And so he made this super.
Did Nathan miss 2 games?
Yeah, he made this super audacious.
My memory
kick. He made a grubber kick on the. There was a error made in their 20.
Yeah,
and then we.
So you're testing me here, brother. But yeah,
and then he on his second play in the first half. The second game, he made a grubber kick on the first tackle, which is super audacious to score the try himself, which you might say is greedy, but it says a lot about the man who's going to take that risk. Very nearly pulled it off.
I do remember that.
In slow-mo does this insane switch read.
No, I remember now.
Grounds the
ball. Yeah, I remember now. Yeah.
Just before he gets there. And so even though it didn't come off, it said a lot about Mitchell Moses, who is out there to win games, but not for
people out there. People out there saying Brad Arthur needs to go. Do you subscribe to that train of thought?
No, I like Brad. I like Brad, even though I think the guys like the team like Brad. And I think
you're a Brad guy?
I'm a Brad guy, but I think the media are Brad guys as well. When you see it on 360, they're like, look, we like Brad. I know his head's on the chopping block, but, you know, Brad Thanasseff's like, but like, we have to talk about this. So they don't often add that little caveat before to say, I think he's a good bloke. He wants the best for the team. The Eels are an annoying team, easy team to scrutinise, but an annoying team
But easy to scrutinise because of
the
amount of
there.
Well, and also the amount of time since you've won a comp. It's now into, what, 43 years or something like that? I don't know if the numbers. Tobler will get that to me.
But that never goes away until you do it. So you go, oh, is Brad being there too long? 10 years. Got fucking close against the Panthers.
Well, I wouldn't say close.
No, sorry. I meant to say in the final, and then the Panthers.
You made the grand final, which is no small feat. And then
the Panthers completely annihilated us. Like, it was put on one of the best performances until last year, actually. That was one of the best Nathan Cleary.
Well, they came back. They absolutely. It was one of the great grand final humpings, obviously, outside of 2008 Manly.
Last year, there was the most ridiculous suspensions, injuries that plagued us, and we were one win out of the eight. We started at 4-0, I think, with Matheson declaring some sort of silly fine thing where he missed the first three games, and we lost every game by a nail hair. So there was that. That was last
a nail season. Hair,
a nail hair, a hair of a nail. But then this year,
a nail,
hair of a nail. No, someone had a hair of nails. That'd be fucking pretty weird.
Hairy nails, dude. That makes me sick.
This
for some
year,
reason.
Yeah, it's disgusting.
It makes me fucking feel violently ill.
I tell you what makes me feel even more sick is losing Mitchell Moses in the Manly game, and then Gutho and Brycey C, and then it's only round nine. So
we've had nine rounds or eight? Nine. We've had nine. I mean, it's early in the going. But we have approached Origin season, which is nice.
In a roundabout way, we're making the eight. Will we win the premiership? Remains to be seen.
No, you won't, and I don't think you'll make the eight either. But that's actually no, you will. If Mitchie's back in a couple of weeks,
round 12.
So 2 weeks, 3 weeks, three weeks.
I'd almost prefer him to just get into Origin and rip and tear.
He won't play Origin, which is good for you. You don't want him to play Origin. That's the last fucking thing you want. You don't want someone who's been out for that long to come back and play Origin. No.
I don't know. You want him playing club footy? I think he might be picked.
Where would you pick him in Origin then? There's no way he gets picked. I would say he's 0% chance.
Six.
I think it'll be Nicho Hynes if they're going to go with an informed half. He's not even playing, Hamish.
Origin is the week after he comes back.
There's no way.
Yeah, that's fine, but I think they're going to look at how he goes that week and then make the decision. Mark my words.
Do you reckon he'll get picked?
Mark my words, if he has a really good game, that game before Origin, I think Marge... we'll fucking maybe pick him. Madge Simpson.
You reckon Marge will throw him in again if he has one good game?
4 years ago, watching this game, so I don't. Tigers. He's a new coach. Is he going to go well?
Listen, it's the start of the season. Well, it's Origin's around the corner, and this has been recorded, so I need to be careful with my phraseology, to use a Tom Birmingham term. I think that he's got a very difficult job.
And you think he should...
I think he's got a very difficult job because I think that most people, if you ask them on the street, would genuinely say that he's a bloke that's taken a job when there wasn't a whole lot of options. I think that's what people would say if you ask him fair dinkum. And the reality is that there doesn't seem to be a heap of options for us. Joey said no. Matty said no. Freddie, obviously, like, the media got the better of him and we've had a couple of bad years. He's not an option.
Wouldn't Joey just pump blood into the penis of every New South Welshman if he just
if
took
Joey
the job?
And if Joey and Matty did it, I think the state would come as one. That's I genuinely think that we would all climax together if Matty and Joey took over. I really
That's
believe
a very
that.
Funny image.
Because you've got two of the fucking great minds in rugby league, Hamish, and you've got...
But everyone respects Joey.
And
Joey's
the fucking man.
He's the man.
And
every
he's the greatest footballer of all time. And then Matty's just such a people person, very charismatic, can get a message across well, and knows the game inside out. But that
now,
hasn't
what are we getting out of Marge?
Marge,
whatever his name is. What are we getting out of him?
Marge. What? Marge has won a comp. Marge has won a comp. So that is 1,000% something. Yeah. He won with the Bunnies.
Did he play the game and win a premiership?
We're talking about coaching here.
Yeah.
Talking about coaching. I don't know if he played as a player and if so, with what success.
Well, we'll find out, won't we? It's interesting.
But he did. But he coached and he won a premiership. Then he was obviously at the Tigers. He is known as a bit of a whip cracker.
Okay.
A cracker of the rugby league whip, Hamish.
Yeah, assemble those sand blocks likes, and make
likes,
a pyramid.
Likes to fucking push the boys to the limit. Mate, I think we needed a change. As a state, we definitely needed a change. We had fallen into pessimistic times, and I think it showed on the field. I don't... Unfortunately, though, the changeover in coaching has happened at the same time as Queensland start to ascend. Like, that was a real fucking down period for Queensland. Even though they won a handful of series there, which sort of defies what I'm talking about. But if you actually look at it, our side on paper was way fucking better. And they were going through a massive rebuild, and they had some, no disrespect here, but there was some dead shits out there for Queensland at certain points, right? And in some series, like the 2021 series, we humped them near to death. But those moments, those times have gone, and now they've got the bush poet Billy, who just will, you know, everything's a fucking soliloquy or a bloody haiku, which is fine. Like, oh, that's great, but
he's a great
coach, and all their players now are fucking hot as shit. That's just the reality. Queensland's got a really hot side, and we're going through a bit of a transition, and now we've got a new coach. So I don't love where we're at. I don't love it.
Well, here's two things, Madge.
I'm not sitting here touching myself, but I was touching myself 2 years ago, and we lost as well. So
look, I love Nicho Hynes as much as the next guy. I truly do. Handsome fella, talented footy player, lean body, you know, just great wet hair. We love him. Enormous jawline.
Do you reckon he's hung?
Special. Probably.
What would you
do to him? It'd be the missing piece of the puzzle if he wasn't.
What would you do to him?
I'd high-five him.
Would you give him the wall treatment?
Maybe give him
the wall smash?
I'd give him a little smash. I'd definitely do the double take.
Would you give him the wall smash that you were talking about before?
Oh, fucking oath. I'd give him the fucking spread the thigh. but that's locker room chat. Yeah. Madge, if you're looking for someone who is solid in defense, Mitchell Moses. If you're looking for someone who can kick grub long, short, high, far, 40-20, Mitchell Moses. If you're looking for someone who has the best show and quick short ball in the game, bang forward crash over, which is what we're going to need in the middle, Mitchell Moses.
So Mitch is your man.
Yep, I think so. I think that's
just play two out and out sevens out there and just see how we go.
This is just what I think. It's not what I think a lot of people think. It's just what I think. Unwavering bias.
Yeah.
Unqualified opinion. But
okay, you know how I was asking you before if Scorsese tapped on your shoulder and we're talking about would you step up and deliver? What if the state needed you to coach the Blues? And you had to pick the team.
I think I'd be holding an Oscar. I'd be standing there thanking my family. I don't know what.
Let's change tack slightly. You're going out for a game three, right? You, by some weird circumstance, have taken over control of the side.
It's like I just put Gutho and like all these Parramatta players in there. Like, no, what are you doing?
But you've got to motivate the boys, right? It's halftime, Sydney, game three. We're down by six. What are you saying at the half? How are you getting the boys up for their state?
You hear that? That's the sound of nothing. And that's what you guys could be in a short 40 minutes. Nothing. You can just orbit your way around the planet like a fucking pointless moon. Or you can be someone. You can be discovered. You can be a fucking sun. You can have some fire in ya! And you can go out there and you can shine your light on New South Wales. Now get out there and fucking win for the beaches of New South Wales, for the people of New South Wales, for the beautiful green verdant valleys of New South Wales. Now what are you going to do? You're going to get out there and be nothing? I don't think so. Gentlemen, it's up to you.
Oh, I'm running through a brick wall for you, bruh.
That's what I'd say.
Clip that up and show it to the boys. Half time, if we're down and we're out, we know where to turn. Hamish Street. That was fucking... That was powerful, buddy. That was powerful stuff.
It was an enjoyable experience. I feel like, I don't know if it'd get them up, but I mean, fuck, you got to talk tactics. You got to fire them up. Like, isn't that what the Mad Dragon's always on about? Like, it's fucking, if you fire people up, his method is so simple.
Yeah.
Fire up. Like, it's so funny because that's what you say on the sideline of, like, your kid's footy thing. Like, go fire up, you little fucking yellow wire dragons. But if it gets the kids fired up, then that's when you win games.
I think it's brilliant. The brilliance is in the simplicity. Your speech was Origin level, but if we're critiquing the Mad Dragon,
he's on another level. I'm literally just
his power is in his simplicity, though.
Oh, dude!
Like,
and dribble. Like, he is a copious amount of dribble in him.
Have you seen the backflip video?
In the pool? I don't think I have.
Can we get that up? Can we just...
But I have seen the Cowboys one where he plays multiple characters.
Is that when he goes, bar open?
Yeah. At the end? Nah. Hey, who's this bloke? And he's holding a wooden spoon that he's got from the kitchen that looks like every wooden spoon we've seen in your life. And he's just like... No one's doing that.
No one's doing it.
You guys have reached out to him. Like, you have to get
we're trying to get a live stream going. That's our hope, is that we reach a place where he's able to. We'd fly him over as well. We'd fly him over. We'd put him up, and we want to do a live stream of obviously the Dragons taking on the Seagulls. We asked him last year, and he was commentating. Commentates like Perth rugby league over there, so he couldn't do it. And then this year we play him on the Easter weekend, so that's, you know, family first type stuff.
I
think we play again at some point this year. We're hoping, fingers crossed, we can get the job done then, which would be fun.
Yeah,
because it'd be, we've never met the bloke, and we haven't really talked to him either. We've only ever seen his videos, which are like elite, best in class. So I don't know how a live stream would go, but you don't know till you have a crack, do you?
No. Oh, dude, well, just fascinating, just litter him with questions. And but even if he doesn't come on as well, he's just immortalized as this crazy urban legend that you know nothing about. He's like Bruce Lee. I've never met him.
Have you ever listened to his podcast?
No. Oh, I think I dabbled in it. He's like split screens of like headsets, mate, and shit.
He gets like this like collection of just absolute Dragons dribblers, and they talk about the weekend where the Dragons are at and stuff. It's fucking... Right. It's good stuff.
That's good. Because it would annoy me if it was a joke. Like, what's funny about it is that he is dead set. Thinking about... I want him to be going to sleep thinking about the Dragons.
There's nothing about what he's doing is a joke.
No.
He's completely 100% sincere and just loves his Dargons.
The red face.
Oh, yeah. He's a face painter too, mate. Like, but that's what it's all about. He in some ways actually encapsulates the essence of the dribbler, I think.
Mate.
You know, if you were to say what is a visual or a life representation of a dribbler, it is the Mad Dragon, I think.
Yeah. Like he's
one-eyed beyond belief. He's so unwavering in his loyalty. His like bias is like outrageous. And his passion is just like oozing out of his skin.
But the audacity to, like, hit the creative genius of the guy to play out that Cowboys game going, you have the spoon. No, you have the spoon.
Yeah, it's a dribbler.
It's so silly, but it means a lot to him as well. And it just trumps all logic and reason. Let's
so this was last. There. This was last March. This one is the daily request from Rob Bell. So here you go, Rob, locking the win. I believe he had sort of fallen on this thing whereby if he did a backflip, the Dragons would win. And so this is him trying to cultivate a win for the
Dragons. There are some
Dargans.
Members that are convinced that the Dragons can't win unless I do a backflip into this pool. I don't know if I can still do one, but I'm willing to do it for the Dragons. So come on, Dragons fans. Fire up!
That is the visual representation of the biggest dribbler of all time.
Oh, dude, and he's rocking two cameras and he's editing back and forth. It's so...
I'm willing to do it for the Dragons. So come on, Dragons fans. Fire up!
Oh, God,
I love it.
God bless him. God bless you, Mad Dragon. Dude.
But a fire up gets people going, bro. It just, well, it's it fun. Heaps, it. I don't know what it is about the fire up, but it hits you deep in your soul. At least it hits me deep within.
Yeah, for sure. Like you, everyone used to say, like anyone who played rugby or soccer, I'm not sure, but like fire up was what the sideline would say. That's what the coach would say. That's what, it's also what was said in the huddle by the guy who's, you know, winning the campaigning for the encouragement award, going like, come on boys, we just need to fire up.
It's just part of sport, at least in this great nation. It's up there with it's nil all, you know. Even if you're winning, it's nil all at halftime. Like, you to go out there, there's a job to do. Like, all those
but
little
it's
cliches
nil all is
in sport.
Maths. It doesn't get me fired up at all. Nil all is, well, let's
but relax. But it's designed to keep you composed and not get ahead of yourself. Because if you're up, let's say you're playing rugby league and you're up 20 points to nil at the half, by saying it's nil all, you got to go out there and you got to put the points on. You know, you don't take the foot off the throat.
No. It's nil all. It's nil all, lads. It's always lads. After. Yeah. It's nil all, lads. It's nil all, boys. No one just says it's nil all. Like,
Did you observe
it's nil all?
Yeah, it's nil all. No,
hey,
you
guys,
can't say
it's nil all. It's nil all, boys. Four up.
No, it's nil, lads. Can you get up the video of that guy? This is a good watch as well. The guy in the AFL.
Oh, I think I know what you're going to say.
And he's talking about, he goes, and there was this bitch, she's fucking crawling, she's on her hands and knees.
Oh, no, I haven't seen
get
this.
Get to the line. It's basically go AFL.
Like a rev up speech?
AFL rev up speech.
There's a cracker. Doesn't sound like this one.
I bet this is this. It's got. There's only one that's truly great. Get this up. This is good stuff. Hopefully, it's the one I know of.
No, I've seen it. No, this is it. Watch this.
This isn't the one I was.
No, dude, watch this. This is one I was thinking of. Turn up.
Can't even hear it.
No. Gets into it. Militant. It fires up.
Loss of
look at him like scanning through the group.
When you're fucking 6 foot under the ground, you take those things with you, right? Old Clark is here today in spirit with us.
Fucking oh, yeah. Yeah.
Right? It's our day. We're going to have to pay the price like we've never paid it before.
Oh, my God.
Right? We've done the work. We're ready to go. We're cherry ripe. It's our day.
Oh, my God.
Looks at a night.
That's when we stand up, and that's when we're at our best. And there's going to be plenty of them here today. The crunch moments is when we're at our best. But it's your best when your best is needed. Together, everyone achieves more. There's no I in team. What can I do to make this team better? What can I do?
This is cliche after cliche.
What can I do to help us achieve something special? The fairy tale. The fairy tale, creating history. Oh, in it together. We've got the good job, boys. We go out and we get to do it together as a group. A tight-knit group. Will, boys, will. The will's got to be better than the skill. The will's got to be better than the skill. When it's your turn to go, you go like there's no tomorrow. Win the ball. The most important thing. Win the ball, win the contest. Make a decision. First options are always your best. Execute. Take the game on. Have courage, have confidence in your own ability and your teammates' ability. Self-belief. Trust. If it is to be, it's up to me. Come on. If it is to be, it's up to me.
If it is to be, it's up to me.
Trophies are earned.
Trophies are earned. Trophies are in! Oh my God! That was outrageous.
That was actually the
He said every single...
Sorry, mate.
He said every single AFL cliche that you could possibly say. Not AFL, sports cliche. If it is to be, it's up to me! Will Trump skill? Will always Trump skill? We're cherry ripe today, boys. We're cherry ripe. Trophies are earned. Trophies are earned.
Dribbly.
Oh, can you just type in and let me have a little browse? Because I've got to get this other one up. It's fucking that good. Righto, so we've got the best three-quarter time rev-up speech of all time. I've just found this 17 years ago. This was like old YouTube scrolling sessions. This is one of the fucking greats. Pump the music too. Pump the singer.
Everyone's fucking ass to take this fucking off.
Come on!
Can you feel it now that we've got everyone? Come on! These guns are fucking stopping! Let's see if they can stand there and do nothing! We've got to run the play now so we can take this fucking game! Sticking up their fucking ass to them nothing! Look at each other in the eyes! You see the fucking desire there? They're fucking dead! Fucking dead! We take this game away from these guns!
I don't know if anybody saw the Olympics fucking somewhere in the 80s. There was this chick that did this fucking marathon, and she fucking, fair enough, she'd come fucking 10th or 20th or something like that, but that's not important. The poor bitch was fucking running. She actually fucking crawled to the fucking line. She didn't fucking give up. She fucking pushed herself, she pushed herself, she pushed herself to near fucking exhaustion. That's what I'm asking out of you, boys, is to push yourselves right to the final.
Such
a take this fucking prize away from these cats. They don't deserve it. We fucking do. Come and there's fucking two
Too fucking right, Rado. Too fucking right.
It's just if it was subtitles, it's like inaudible
It's ramble. Completely inaudible ramble. He's like,
rabble.
There was this chick back in the 80s. Fair enough, she came fucking 10th or fucking 20th. It's not the fucking point. Anyway, she crawled away to the line. And that's what I'm asking for you boys. Fucking, I want you to push yourselves in near fucking exhaustion to the final hooter. I don't fucking deserve it. We fucking deserve it. Take the fucking bacon home. It's just, that is so Australian, that video.
But just as well to come from the audio of like a guy who's shaved into like a, what would you call like a Dracula? But like a backward Dracula? Like a fucking fade.
He's got a mullet that goes into a fine point at the end. It's special stuff. It's unbelievable. There's nothing quite like a rev up.
No, and like you don't want to fuck it up. That's why you don't want to fuck it up. That's why you have to. That's why that guy was probably the best guy for it. Doesn't matter what you say. It's that he felt what he was going to say, and everyone's going to listen.
On videos, I don't know if you watched our good mate Sebastian yesterday. Put up a video for breaking the yips and
the mad golfer.
I just thought we could watch it together because it is
fucking earth.
It is one of the funniest things I think I've ever fucking seen in my life. The commitment out of the man
to get it on. I haven't seen this.
You haven't seen this?
No.
Oh my god! Run your eyes over this.
All right, press conference time. We had another round up at shorties. We played one ball, and we're like, we're going to get 54. And we didn't do it. We got a +3, though, which is my PB. I'll take that every goddamn day of the week. But just wanted to cover off on a few points. One, shorties is sick. The new Renos with the kitchen. Now, I wasn't there when the kitchen was open, but it's got burgers, pizzas, tap beers, all
a little
that
bit
kind
of drizzle
stuff
at the moment.
Across the whole
I love
it up there.
Sebo's the king, dude.
Thank you, Scotty. And everyone there, it's starting to rain, but this hack is just going to stay in the rain. I've got a tiki drinking shirt here. This is what you want a margarita in. They've got frozen margaritas on tap up there. We've got a polo, and we've got some socks here. I haven't had good golf socks in ages, so thank you, Shorties. It is fun.
They
you haven't
mad.
Been to Shorties yet. I don't know what rock you've been living under, but admittedly, I don't know how new the Renos are, but they're, you know, they haven't been around forever. I haven't been there while they're there. Secondly, the pie.
Starting to really pour now.
The pie at Shorties. It's a gourmet pie. Oh, it's a delicious pie. Jesus, rain's coming down. It's a delicious pie. It's like a pie at a pub, like a country pub. And you eat that with a knife and fork, right? Because it's really thick and heavy, right? Like you can't pick it up like a 4-20 or a Billy's or something like that. This is now, fuck it, it's part of the content. Press conference in the rain. So you eat it with a knife
that's
and fork.
That's a camera survival.
Okay? Okay? So that's how you eat a pie. Also, we want to talk about the keyboard warriors. Anytime I do any one of these legs, I get DMs of people saying, you can't do this, you can't do that. That's what you said about the 20 greens in the row. That's what you said about the 15 fairways in a row. That's what you said about all the other legs, right? And I did them. So I'm going to hit 54. I don't know if you're single-digit guys or 25 handicappers have got no idea who just says you can't do it. Because you guys are my motivation. Someone as uncoordinated as me can get goals that you think are impossible even for yourself. So I'm going to do that. And you know what? I'm going to do it with all the hackers around me. We had a hacker meetup before at Marrickville. We had, there was margaritas that night as well. So I reckon, if anyone's interested, I'm going to start like at 3 p.m, go through to like 8 p.m, one of the kind of early to mid-week nights, and we're going to get 54. We're going to get 54, and I'm going to have you guys with me. You know what I mean? So we can all jam it to the boardies together. This is a really dumb decision. I thought it was just going to be a pass and drizzle, but I've come too far. I am going to get 54, but I need you with me.
That is brilliant. Nice, Sebo.
In the pouring rain.
When you wake up in the morning, you hope you have a moment like that in your day.
Yeah.
Poured rain on. Mm. But you're just hoeing in on what it is that you believe in or what you're on about that day. And just, I just love that the pies were just such a unnecessary description that he went into for about 20 seconds. Like, sometimes you eat a pie, it's not like a...
Well, he got a lot of shit, though, in his videos for eating a pie with a knife and fork. And so I feel like he needed to explain the substance of the pie. And unlike a Villies or a 4-20, as he explains, which can be handheld, this is more of a country-style, fresh-out-the-oven, deep thickness.
Requires cutlery.
Yep. And so he's so Sebo's defending himself there against the trolls of the internet who see a weak Greek man eating his pie with cutlery.
As though he can't get his fingers dirty, as though he hasn't had a Billy's pie in his life.
Yeah.
Fuck off.
I know. And I think that's probably why he's talking pies, but would it shock you if he was talking pies anyway? No, it wouldn't.
Oh, like, you know, pies is
he'd
just
talk
one
pies
facet.
Anyway,
there's,
mate.
And then just aggressive at what motivates him. And it's like, I don't know if you're like someone who can do that or not, but like,
I think you make a great point around his passion, right? Like, it's good to have passions. If you get passionate about something every day, that's good.
Tell you the best place to be passionate? In the weather, in the elements, in Mother Nature.
Well, Mother Nature brings out passion from deep within.
Well, that's what passion is. It's almost like when you're like that mad dragon, you are just encompassing a fucking storm on someone. Like, you are just like trying to bestow the thunderous, loud crackling of lightning into the minds of people listening.
Yeah.
Or you could just be a guy rattling off fucking random shit.
Yeah.
Or are you? I don't know.
Well, it's, you know, beauty is in the eye of the beholder.
Exactly, exactly. But you don't behold any beauty unless you believe in the elements. I don't know if that connects or not.
Beautifully said, Hamish. Yeah. Beautifully said. So we've got a couple of dribbles we'll get to.
Yep.
Where's Tommy Burns at? When's he get back?
He gets back tomorrow or Friday. He's off sunning his penis in Fiji, mate. He's enjoying a nice little bit of R&R. Well deserved.
Yeah, I've been WhatsApping him.
I think it's his first family holiday.
Kid works hard. Yeah. No, he deserves it.
He deserves a holiday.
Is he a good boss to you guys? There's a deathly long silence
there. Tread carefully, boys.
He's not as good as Eddie.
There you go.
Not as good as Eddie, yeah. Well, you know.
Eddie, everyone prefers Eddie, though, but I think that's on the public record.
For sure. No, kid works hard, you work hard. When's your holiday?
I had mine.
Where?
Mexico.
Oh, yeah, you did. You did.
Fucking fantastic. Fucking loved it.
My sister loved Mexico.
So good.
And Hawaii, and you did that as well.
I did Hawaii.
Yeah, I want to do both of those. I'll probably knock those out in the same.
Hawaii's a lot more like touristy, but if you want to just, you know, soak yourself in the tub of good, honest American tourism, then Waikiki is the place to do it.
Yeah.
Right on the beach. Food's good. Or good enough. You get fucking blind as the bat off like one drink. You have one Mai Tai. You have one Mai Tai at the Royal Hawaiian, you're done.
Yeah.
It's like not over in a good way.
Yeah.
They free pour over there. They don't give a fuck. When you have a margarita in Australia, like a Tommy's, versus over there, it's night and day. Yeah. That'd be four times stronger, minimum. You have one cocktail and you're blind drunk. The only thing about America, as fabulous as it is it's very expensive. Everything over there is expensive, and then if you're in touristy areas, it's even more expensive, and then the exchange rate's not great. It's like 66 cents to the dollar or something like that. No. So you get your fucking balls ripped off.
Yeah.
But Mexico, which it's not nearly as touristy, it's not nearly as tacky. Great people, great food, tequila, which is obviously my favorite, is just everywhere. Mezcal, beautiful places.
As you're talking, I'm sort of conjuring up, like I'm listening to what you're saying, and then I'm also conjuring up a holiday of my own as I listen to you, like going, wouldn't it be cool if we could just do like get moderately good at surfing? You don't even have to be moderately good at golf, but you can just have a swing. But you should be at least, if you're going to go on a trip, get up and then go to Hawaii or go to New Zealand. Or go to fucking wherever, get the weddies on and do maybe even just a trip
like the
down
Mentau,
the
is down, you saying?
Maybe just do like a trip down in
down
your
the
car
coast.
Down the south coast, and you can't do it. If you want to vlog it, you can. But I mean, I just like to get in the elements.
We need to get back. We need to get back into our surfing. Maybe
because
we get
there was
back
a special
in,
feeling.
Maybe we
I
get
had.
Back in the water on Friday.
There was a special
My Friday
feeling.
Looks alright.
Remember when we were out there, and again. As Sebo has alluded to us in this video, again, exploring ideas, when it was raining.
Oh, yeah.
and we were out there surfing, trying hard at something.
Oh, yeah.
That is difficult to do for someone who doesn't know how to do it. And then you get up on a wave and it's like the end scene of Point Break, where it's like, let me get out there.
That was nice. Down at Manly, it was thunderstorm, like out on the horizon. It was raining. It wasn't too busy. Like it was moody.
It was moody and just, yeah, it was moody.
It was moody, man.
Moody. And then when you wake up, you want to have a moody moment like that.
I love that moody moment. Maybe we'll get back out there Friday morning. I actually don't. I'm not doing anything Friday morning, I don't think.
Well, I've got my wedding, got my board, so let's do it.
Done. Lock it in. Yeah. Book it in.
Lock it in, Eddie.
All right, punters and dribblers, time to listen to a couple of dribbles with me, old mate Hamish Street. Now, a few of these dribbles today are going to be of a sofa variety, Hamish. So basically what happened was, a couple of weeks ago, Tom and I went into share houses of this great city of Sydney and basically gave them a makeover. Like, some of these blokes had sofas in there that were fucked up. One of them, you know, I won't get into too much of it. There was some curses involved. There was some, like, rats involved. There were just, they were, some of them were visually horrific. We went over there and we scrubbed them up and we gave them new sofas thanks to Koala, right?
Nice.
And what we thought could be fun, given that the first episode will be live on our Instagram tonight, Punters and Dribblers, that's if you're listening on a Thursday, that we got a couple of dribblers to call in with their own sort of sofa secrets just to have a listen to, because nothing says mid-20s, early 20s, late 20s, nothing says male share house like a fucked up sofa, I don't think.
I mean, yeah, I've got sofa stories coming out of my ears.
Well, can you give me one?
I remember, sorry, Baz, but used to piss himself, bedwetter, obviously, off the Jarch ilk. And, yeah, he came up in our share house of Redfern. Sebo lived there. Willoughby, you live there?
Nah, Tom did.
Tom did, and then a bunch of us lived there. But he was a bedwetter of note, and then we're all just, like, watching TV. Pulls his mattress. This is sofas or mattress? This is sofas.
We're doing sofas, but you can do mattress if you want.
And he pulls his mattress up out of the stairs and just goes, oi, guys, I've pissed the bed. Like, what do you think I should do about that? Like, obviously, I don't, like, I'm not just going to not tell you guys. I have to get past you guys. Like, I've just pissed it. I fell asleep, and what do I do? Like, oh, I don't know, man. Like, we'll take it outside and give it a hose down, I guess. Like, you just work together as a share house.
You do. That's just a drive-by and Baz. Absolutely nothing to do with sofas. You remember the one we used to have in...
Sorry, Baz. He'd admit it.
Remember the one we used to have in Keppel Street? And it was the Street Fighter rules? And we basically had like, the rules of being a Street Fighter. It was basically, like, taking the piss out of Hamish on the back of the couch. Like, I can't. Can you remember any of those?
The silly urban legends of, like, first rule of
the first, like, it was like the first rule of street fighting. Street fighter always fucks with his shoes on. Stuff like that, wasn't it? It was something like that.
I'm gonna butcher it, but it was written on the back of a sofa. You're right, in permanent marker.
Yes, it was
among many other.
There was drawings and stuff. Like, we had this white couch, white sofa, and we drew all over it. And part of the
whole back bit.
The whole back bit was the rules of being a street fighter, which is basically the rules of how Hamish lived his life on the back of a couch.
We can't remember one.
I can't remember one
for the.
I was hoping you would.
You made them. I didn't make the rules myself. You wrote this thing. I'm trying to remember. First rule of fighter. Oh, I remember one. I remember one, and it was on a kick-on with Tommy Burms. We were outside Listo's Thug's Mansion, it was called. Mm. And I was playing guitar.
Oh, yeah, you're right. You know,
the four chords that I had learnt. And my finger, I didn't have a pick, and then blood was just splattering across the guitar. And so one of the rules was fighter plays till his fingers bleed.
A fighter always plays till his fingers bleed.
And it's just like splatter yeah. across the guitar.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That was one.
That was one. I wonder what became of that couch.
Remain a mystery, the other nine.
There was another nine, and then there was a bonus one on the bottom of the couch. It's funny how you forget this stuff.
How?
I don't know. It was such a big part of our life.
It was.
Fuck, I loved it. Anyway, hopefully these dribblers haven't forgotten their stories, given they've called in.
Yeah. Sofas, dude. Make fun with your sofa.
Hey, boys. Just want to call up regarding the sofa secrets. Got a bit of a yarn. A couple of years ago, went out, had a few too many with some mates. Got home that night. I stumbled out of a taxi and kind of had a nap on the front lawn. I was a bit dewy at the time. This is relevant for later on in the story. Anyway, head inside, fell asleep on the couch, passed out. Woke up a couple hours later, probably 3 a.m. at this point. Thought I'll get some Maccas, ordered some Uber Eats. Got up and thought, fuck, pants are a bit wet. And I was like, oh, that's right, it was the dew. I was lying in the dew earlier. Didn't really think anything of it. Had me Maccas, shower, went to bed. Woke up at 6:30, mum's fucking banging on my door. And she goes, what the fuck? Why the fuck is my couch wet? And I was like, oh, don't sweat it. Just the dew. Got out of the Uber and was lying in the wet grass. Mum, no worries. Anyway, it was puddle shaped. Turns out I had actually wet myself in my sleep. And then if I wasn't already facing head noise bad enough, had to then pay $150 to get it steam cleaned on a Sunday morning. Doesn't end there, though, unfortunately. 2 weeks later, I was at, like, a team bonding for social sports. Made a new mate, new friend that night, who I was going to be working with in the next couple of weeks at this said sport. Anyway, got on the piss, ended up getting kicked out of the pub. I thought, why don't we come back to mine, mate, have kick-ons. He ends up sleeping on the couch. Fast forward a couple of hours, mum wakes me up again, fucking in tears. She's going, why the fuck has my couch been pissed on again? Oh. Another $150 later, couch was cleaned, pissed on twice in 2 weeks. Pretty grim. Cheers, boys. Broncos 13 plus.
Can I be honest with you?
Yeah.
If I'm the mother of this kid, I'll probably wear that he's pissed on it. Like, I'll wear that and I'll get it steam clean. If some fucking rando that he's brought home's pissed on it, I'm just throwing it out. I don't want it.
Yeah, I'm off it. I'm throwing my son out as well.
Yeah, get out of the house,
with the couch. I'll tell you a funny story, though, with Tommy Berms. Sebo, you were there with this one. And everyone remember the warm water trick? You have a glass of warm water and you put it
in. You put their hand in it?
We did that.
Does that actually work?
Again, every story is when we're 10. So just picture us all when we're 10. Seb without a beard, Tom Heaps fat, me with a six pack. Anyway, so we put his hand in the fucking water. Me and Seba, so he's gone to sleep. So Seba and I are like, okay, let's put his hand in the water, see if it works. Wasn't working. So he wasn't pissing himself, or at least as much as we could check.
Yeah.
And then so we go, all right, let's just get the warm water, pour it over his crutch, and then talk really loudly as though he will wake up on his own fruition and then want to conceal the truth that he realizes. So we did this, and we're like, oh, playing like Mortal Kombat or whatever, and then he's like, and we hear this... And we're like, oi, Seb, do you fucking smell piss, dude? And he's like, yeah, I fucking... Smells like it's coming from back there. Is Burma still awake? And then Burma's like, yeah, I'm actually awake now. Oi, and Burma's like, what smells like piss in here? And we're like, I don't know.
He can't smell though.
The alarm bells are already ringing. And you can't smell. And so we go over there and we're like, hang on, something smells like it's coming from over here. He's like, oh, this kind of smells like it's coming from over there. We're like, no, it's over here. And we go near where his crotch is and we're like, dude, that's you have pissed yourself. You've dead set pissed yourself. He's like, oh, just fucking tell your mum that it was Rex, your dog. tell your mum it was Rex.
Poor Rex getting thrown under the bus.
Under the bus. And we're like, okay, we will. No worries. And then the next morning at breakfast, we're all having breakfast. And then I was like, hey, mum, do you know why the couch was wet? And she was like, yeah, I did notice that, actually. And Burma's looking at me like, fucking do it. Don't you fucking do it. I was like, yeah, Seb. And Seb's like, and I'm like, Tom pissed the couch. And he just goes, got it. Thank you, Mr. and Mrs. Street. Got up, politely excused himself, left the front door, and we're pissing ourselves. My mum didn't care. Mm. But obviously he did.
So he was cut and he left.
He was cut and then he'd gotten on my little Pee-wee 50 motorbike. Like we just, you know, we had a couple of acres and he got on my motorbike and he was driving down the driveway to go home. And me and Seb had to leg it down the driveway to flag him over and go, we're joking. And he skids to a stop and goes, I knew you were joking. I was just going for a drive.
Oh.
And to this day, he denies it.
But he did it?
Right?
But he did it?
Out of embarrassment. Yeah. He was leaving. It was at the gate when we flagged him down.
Yeah, okay. That's good stuff. It's good to lay it on thick when he's not here, isn't it? It's cathartic. That was great stuff. And I would say well retold.
Thanks, man.
Really well retold.
I've retold that a couple of times. Yeah, it's worthy of retold.
The pauses in the right spots, the hushed voices to sort of draw you in. It was beautifully done. Beautifully done. Tommy, Tobler, please proceed. Tommy.
Hey, boys. Just on that couch chat, it unlocked a fucking old memory that I wish I'd forgotten. You remember when Little Fat Lambs or whatever the fuck they were called were a thing about 8 years ago and you'd get like for $8 like a 1.5 litre bottle of this ginger beer bullshit?
Oh, yeah.
I remember we drank about two of those and a bunch of beers, went out in town, went back to my mate's place or my mate's parents' place at the time, passed out on the lounge, woke up, covered in vomit, all over the fucking lounge, all over the floor, smelt like ginger. And to add insult to injury, we'd fucking pounded some leftover beef stroganoff that we'd found the night before. And the worst part about it is I got up not knowing what the fuck smelt so bad and his two fucking ridgebacks come in and start licking it up. And now I'll never touch a fucking ginger beer ever again. So, love your work. Bye.
So, he's had a big night on the fat yaks or the lambs or whatever they're called.
Little fat lambs, yeah.
Little fat lambs. He's pounded a beef stroganoff, booted all over the couch, and the dogs have come and cleaned it up. It's disgusting.
Yeah.
It's foul.
Poor old dogs, you know, they're just coming in for the leftovers.
I'd assume they don't understand. They don't have the context. They just see leftover beef stroganoff and they go, that's for me.
Like he didn't have any peanut butter on the old ball string.
So basically you're saying if... So it reeks of a
sexual deviant.
So let me get this straight. So basically, you're saying replace the beef stroganoff with peanut butter, and instead of vomiting it up, just put it all over your nuts. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, boy.
Yeah. Like
can happen. Anyway, save the sofas.
Can happen. Well, it's happened before. It's happened in rugby league. Leave it at that. You know who you are.
Oh, rugby league. Pissing in your own mouth. There's a whole bunch of shit. Anyway.
lads, got a bit of a couch yarn for you. Me and a few mates were travelling around Europe a few years ago, booked an Airbnb in Dublin, booked it for four people because it was one of the ones where you pay per guest, had about 10 of us staying in there, so we needed to sleep wherever we could, had a couch bed in there, pulled out the sofa bed, unflipped it, and someone had done a massive spew right in the middle of the bed and obviously just folded it up, packed up, and gone on their merry way. And we thought, we're in two minds here. We can kick up a stink about the fact that we've got a spewy bed and risk getting the bloke over here and him seeing 12 dudes sitting there with all their bags, or we can just take this off, throw it outside and just sleep on it. So no covers, no duvet, no nothing at all. Just ripped off the top, went to sleep, folded it up, never said a word and moved on.
Sounds mate, like burn the house down kind of shit.
That's a big fucking call, mate. That's a big call.
Bro, spew ruins everything. Like, it is very difficult to recover.
How can you sleep on that, though? How can you...
The smell, the look of it, the
I'd just sleep on the floor, a couple of jumpers under the head. Like, fuck that.
Yeah.
That's disgusting.
A Santa sack full of spew?
I'm not going to give anything away, but I'll say this. There was an episode we filmed whereby the sofa couch... The sofa mattress that people had been sleeping on was not in exactly the same state, but Jesus Christ, it was fucking grim, and people were sleeping on it. It made me feel... Tommy actually basically throws up in his own mouth.
Put it this way, if a mate of mine spewed all over my couch, I would be fucking furious.
But this sounds like an Airbnb jobby. You know what I mean? The boys were all in there, 12 of them, sleeping on one mattress. I don't know how that works.
I'd be just as furious.
You'd be absolutely ropeable.
Yeah, and then what you're left with the situation of dealing with who deals this sack of spew. That's
Do women behave in this way? Spewing and shitting and fucking pissing all over mattresses and sofas? Is that a male thing?
Spew is on the cards, I believe, at least in my experience of watching. I've had two sisters. And
you have two sisters still.
I have two. Did I say I have had two sisters? I meant to say I have some sisters. I feel like I know, just even with, wouldn't you agree, common sense, like you've got a sister, like those girls spew like nothing else. However, I reckon they would be tactical spewers and spewers of the garden, not of a fucking pillowcase.
Oh, the bucket next to the bed, whereas men are prepared to go like on themselves.
Men are roll over fucking...
Yeah. Boot where you sleep type stuff, as evidenced by that last dribble.
Yeah.
That's what's concerning here.
It's just an awful situation for everyone. And if you could run 10 steps and throw yourself out a window and spew at the same time, you would have saved a lot of admin.
Great point. Have we got one more?
One more.
One more.
Oh, my God. Tom, Eddie, punters, and fuck! Fucking Manly. Fuck! What the fuck was that? Anyway, sofa fucking rhetoric, whatever it is. I was a young buck, Glock Nation here, by the way. Young buck, moved to Adelaide from the country. And I found myself mixing it with some well-to-do people, so a bit of a country bogan and some socialites from town. And first time I went to a party at one of these people's places, they were playing some stupid fucking drinking game where you had to pass around a bottle of vodka and basically just have a big swig out of it. End of the night, I'm staying on this very luscious, very plush fucking sofa, nodded off to sleep. Room is absolutely fucking spinning around, Kylie Minogue style, and one of the greatest boots of all time, all over myself, all over the couch, and leather couch, spin over the fucking couch cushions and evacuate. So did the big ghosty, and needless to say, I wasn't invited back. So that's mine. Cheers, boys.
Huge. Because you can clean leather. You can wipe that down. That's just a lazy man.
Were there just 100 spew-on-myself stories?
Yeah, it's piss or spew.
Yeah.
Piss or spew.
No cum.
No, he didn't get any cum.
Oh, well.
No load-based questions, mate, or dribbles. Is that what you're looking for, some cum stories?
Well, just a bit of mix it up, you know.
There's only so much spew and urine you can do.
Yeah, if you got a, you know, I wonder in a crime scene, you got the fucking UD light, go through
that. You wouldn't, mate. I think that you could UD light most places and it'd light up.
The place would be...
Just like in general, right?
It'd be fluorescent.
You know?
Walls, ceilings, couch.
Old family computer back in the day.
Oh, yeah, keyboard.
Before the old mobile device.
Yeah. You just see the carrot.
The carrot.
In the fruit bowl.
Okay. Okay.
I'm just saying, there's inventive things that people might do. I don't know. I'm not saying I did that. I'm just sick of the spew stories. I'm trying to left wheel. Go into semen. Why not? It's a fucking podcast. You going to talk about shit?
You can talk about shit.
Talk about spew.
So tonight, Partners Dribblers, check out the Instagram. We'll be making over some dribblers. Living rooms, which is fucking hilarious, so don't miss it. Have we got any more dribbles that we can...
Yeah, we can do a couple more.
Wade through Hamish and I, just a couple more, just to see us off into the good night. Anything, any carrot-based stuff for Hamish?
I feel like
he's got an itch he wants to scratch.
Oh, whatever you like. I'm just word vomit.
Any carrot stuff for Hamish? Word
vomit.
Hey, boys, it's the Man of Soil Dribbler here. I was just driving through a farm about 500 kilometres inland, of the coast on the Queensland side of the border. And I've just seen two majestic as fuck sea eagles. And I just reckon that's just got to be an omen. And seeing as you boys are all over omens, is this 2 points over the Dolphins or two tries? Love to hear your thoughts. Thanks, boys.
Hey, sorry, did the Dolphins beat you guys last week?
No, the Dolphins, we played tomorrow night. Well, tonight, for those listening.
Oh, right.
And so he was basically saying that it's an omen. Is that what he's saying?
Yeah, he was driving through Queensland, and then he looked up and he saw two seagulls as he was driving.
They were inland as well.
Yep.
So that he's suggesting then, I think, that the seagull deep within Queensland and deep within its soul and deep within its psyche.
There's a funny thing I want to ask. Seb's just gone to the toilet. He's been the perfect guy to sort of, you know, his omenry, his mystics.
Mm.
But almost...
They're aqua mystics, apparently. He described last week.
They're closer to the ocean, yeah.
Or, you know, that now that he's not by, you know, Clovelly, he's all at sea.
Well, ghosts love beach towels, yeah. And so they're all camping out in the ocean. But correct. What is it about maybe speaking, manifesting... These omens, like, I'll give you two universes. There's his yarn, and then what happens without saying anything. And then there's this version of then him putting it into existence, and then the omenry is up for the light to see. Is there an omen god of, like, you've shone your light and now you're... changing things?
Is it... So basically, if you...
You've got to keep your omens to yourself.
If you shine the light on an omen,
if you shine,
does it remain an omen?
Or maybe if there's a middle ground, if you shine too much light on an omen, you know, if you go around and boast your omen to every fucking person who will listen, your omen is losing juice.
So it would almost be like...
You have to allude to an omen, perhaps.
Yes. So if you were to give an omen too much sun, it will burn.
Great. Well, exactly. That's exactly what I'm trying to say, Eddie. Yeah.
And you think that the very act of him regaling us with the yarn about the omen on the podcast has caused it to potentially burn, wither and die
not,
on the vine?
Not necessarily, but it brings to mind another omen, or at least a Greek legend. Seb's back. Who was the bloke who flew too
Icarus.
Close? Icarus flew too close to the sun.
He did, and he got burnt.
And I believe Icarus was telling everyone about how high he was flying.
Oh, so Icarus was sick.
It wasn't just that he was flying high. he was shouting from the rooftops, look how fucking awesome these wings are. And then suddenly...
He touched himself often.
He did not maintain his feathers and he fell. Now, I'm just saying. I'm not saying it's because it's on the dribble or whatnot. I don't... Maybe time will tell. Let's find out. If you shine too much light, does the glue fall off the feathers?
Did he ever question?
Yeah, because he said there were two eagles and he wanted to know if the omen meant it was going to be 2 points for the win or two tries.
Okay, so we completely missed that.
Yeah, yeah.
And Hamish has taken us on a journey.
My point is none if he's going to shine light on it.
Yeah.
They're not going to shine it. They're
if
not
we answer the question, is that shining too much light?
Yeah. You could argue...
Exactly.
You could argue this. About even, if you listen to this Thursday morning, then we'll about out. Even aired to much fanfare Wednesday night last night. You would notice in the Manly game I had two eagles, Burbo and Turbo. Maybe that's what he's referring to, two proud eagles in the sky.
Yeah. And I did allude to it being like too much pride before the fall, I believe is the saying in the Bible. However, sometimes, diamond in the rough. You don't want to be a fucking diamond in the rough just waiting to be discovered. You got to kick fucking stones until you find a diamond. That's what you guys are doing. That's what he's doing. Time will tell. Eagles in the sky or diamonds in the dirt? Find out next week.
We'll actually find out Thursday by 10 p.m.
There is an answer to this.
Yeah, so you'll actually find out tonight. if Hamish was right or not. Stay tuned. Are you a diamond in the dirt or?
Jesus Christ. Are omens fickle? That's my point.
Yep.
Are omens fickle?
Are omens fickle? It's a great point. You could write a book on that. Fickle. We'll do one more.
Fickle omens.
Right. Fomens.
Or do omens require pride to kick down the door and say, here I am. Find me if you can. We'll find out.
Tonight.
7:30.
8.
Well, you don't want to miss the pregame. Might find some more omens.
All right, one more.
Hey, boys. It's a serial dribbler here. Just on the back of
Jeffrey
Eddie and Jarch's yarns about cereal the other day. I'm a huge cereal guy. So just got a little bit of a recommendation. I'm not breaking the internet, but if you go to Aldi, you should get some Choco pillows. Maybe Tobbs can get up a photo, but they're basically Incredibites, which you might have had in the school lunchbox back in the day. They're like chocolate wheat filled with Nutella, basically. They're grouse, and they cost about $3.50 a box. You don't get heaps of bowls, but good. They're very good. You need to invest in some of those. Cheers, boys.
Good. Different.
Good, different. That dribble or the cereal choice?
That's Aldi's catchphrase.
Oh, right. Okay. I don't know why you were giggling so much. I'm like, come on, bro.
Well, it was a very different dribble.
It was. Do you remember Incredibites?
I'm trying to think. Do they?
Can you get the photo of them up top?
It's like chocolate and then a color in
like
the middle of it.
Like a wheat exterior.
No, they were like it was like a chocolate tree.
Oh shit! I do.
Incredibites.
Yes, I do. No, shout out. That is nostalgic.
Incredibites, dude. Look at those things.
I was incredibitely jealous of people who had that.
Like if you had Incredibites, you were a fucking G.
Is this Audi Vodka Cruises dribbler? It's just Cruises and then this guy with a flat cap.
So he's doing what, Audi chocolate pillow review. Was that what he's doing?
I think he's done a few different reviews for Audi products.
Oh, he's just the Audi product guy.
That's not the guy that called, is it?
I don't know. It could be.
Because he's like...
He's wearing a Knights jersey.
He's a dribbler, clearly.
Let's watch a video and see if he sounds the same.
Okay. Bro, please.
He'd be loving
I forgot about my low-key treat of the month. So we're doing March and April. We've got the Choco Pillows and Skidoos from Aldi.
Dialed it up a
bit. The pillows taste like Incredibites, and the Skidoos taste like these, both of which were in the first
that is him.
Graveyard episode, so let's go. Now, you're probably wondering, why am I doing so much Aldi shit? Well, our mortgage come off the fixed rate, and they put, like, AI in at the self-serve checkout, so they know...
I don't know if that's him or not, but it doesn't... It doesn't not sound like him.
Well, it's another dribbler.
There's not much chocolate, and I remember the fucking Incredibites were a lot puffier. Anyway, let's go. Okay, Incredibites had more filling, and it was like a Nutella center. That's just...
You know what this reminds me of?
They definitely taste more like a cereal.
Got it.
You know what it reminds me of is my little step-niece and nephew, how much they're glued to... Bless their hearts, so energetic. They play soccer, they're good kids. But I just feel like all that generation... Like who are like seven. They love watching people play a video game or describe a toy. That is the new generation of shit.
They love it.
Marketing. It's like, hey, here's this one person who we trust about who to give us this taste ideas about what they're doing. It's just weird. I just find it weird. And I feel like that guy is doing that very thing. Power to you. Hallelujah. Just saying. It's a weird world we live in.
Couldn't agree more. And probably a beautiful place to finish. Hamish, it's been an absolute pleasure.
Yeah, thanks, man.
I've really enjoyed myself, as always. As I expected.
No, me too.
Thus the invite.
I love you, dog.
I love you too, buddy.
Always...
See you later.
Breaking a jet.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Could you two just not talk anymore?
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.